Good morning, good morning. Look at the person beside you and say, good morning. And if you're with a loved one, you can tell them, I love you. Even if nag-away kayo sa kotse or you had some tension in the car or whatever. All right, if you are with a loved one, just to be clear, you can say, I love you. As we start and look at what God has for all of us this morning, the theme is love rediscovered. And so I was asking some hard questions. I said, Lord, what would you like to share to your people? And to have some fun with you as we get started, how many of you remember the slum book? Ayan, slum book. Raise your hands. Slum book. This was before digital. You would have people write on it, write what's your favorite color, get to know them. And for many young people like us back then, we would ask them to write things about who is your crush, diba? You remember that? So I want to give you some slum book lines that will warm us up for this message of rediscovering love from the book of James. How many of you remember this? When you write it on the slum book, Holland. Hope our love lasts and never dies. Ayan, diba? Okay ba, Holland? Ayan, Holland. What about this one? Our D group family will really mock me for this. Italy. I trust and love you. Ang galing naman. Ang lakas dito ah. Italy. What about this one? Libya. Libya. This is my line from my wife. Love is beautiful. You also. How about this one? Let's bring it back to home and then we'll wind this down. Manila. Manila. May all nights inspire love always. Okay ba, yan. Manila. And my favorite, all right, for the Filipinos, Peru. What is Peru? Forget everyone. Remember us. Ayan. So, why are we doing this? You know, love is an amazing thing as God has designed. There is so much joy behind it. But the truth is, sometimes it can be a little soft. And when we think about love, it could be that the reason we are not loving like Jesus wants us to, and the way we need to rediscover it, is to see the harder truths about love. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the book of James, and we are going to learn how to love radically. It's not a soft thing. As we've learned, love is action. It is not so much the feelings. It is the choice to do it. So we're going to see what James has to say about love and really what the Lord has to say about love to each and every one of us that are here face-to-face or those that are watching online and across the whole larger CCF family. So I'm going to pray again. Is that okay? As we look at the words of God to all of us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. And you know where every single person is right now. You know what's going through their hearts and their minds. And we pray that you would silence all of these things so we would hear directly from you. And you will transform us after our time here. We pray for all of the different speakers across our larger CCF family. What a privilege and joy it is to deliver your words. But we come to you with humility because only you can really speak to each and every person here. And that is our prayer, that you again will speak to each and every person here and across the whole CCF family, wherever we are all having the privilege of sharing your words. We love you, Lord. We look forward to you speaking to us. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. So loving radically, we're going to look at four things that James says across his book. There's many things, but these are truths that will help us not just look at love as this soft, fluffy feeling, but the harder parts about it that will help us to experience the depth and the breadth of God's design for it. Are you ready? Look at the person beside you and say, are you ready? Here we go. Four things. Number one, we're going to look at loving God through trials. That is not an easy thing. Loving radically. Number two, loving others more than ourselves. Radical. Number three, loving Him sacrificially. Loving sacrificially is not an easy thing. And I know this firsthand. We often look at ourselves first. Finally, we're going to look at loving through life words from the book of James. Let's take a look at the first part. So, as we see James open up, he's speaking to the 12 tribes who have been dispersed.
they're going through major persecution. Scholars are saying after Herod starts persecuting and even after Stephen is martyred, the church is dispersing. These are Jewish believers. So James's heart, he's writing to them and he's saying, he opens up even with, consider it all joy if you are persecuted. And he says here in chapter 1, verse 12, can you read it with me, church? Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. What is God speaking to us now through James about loving radically? I want to submit to you, when we see this, we learn a few things. First is the word blessed, and it says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. He's speaking to people who are being persecuted. They're going through difficult circumstances, but they're following God. They've chosen to do what God wants them to do, and yet despite that, despite choosing the right things to do, they're being persecuted. Let's bring it to your world. Maybe some of you right now are going through some trials, some challenges, some difficult moments, but you're following God. So you're asking God, Lord, bakit? Why are you allowing these things to happen? I'm following you. There's a business challenge. There's a health challenge. There's a relational challenge. Why, God? It's very different if you are in sin right now and God is disciplining you for that. Are you following me? But if you are following him and you're obeying him, you're probably asking that hard heart question, Lord, bakit? Why are you allowing this to happen to me right now? So James is speaking to that. He said, hey, you know what? As you persevere through that, you are blessed. Why is he saying that? When the Bible uses the word trial, what is interesting is it's exactly that. It's like a test. Oftentimes, God will allow these challenges and difficult things because he wants to see how we will see it through. Will you persevere? Or will this break you? Maybe even break your feet. Will you curse God? Will you challenge him? Will you say, Lord, I don't even know why I'm following you. Ganito pala. I thought when I become a Christian, everything's going to be great. So God wants to see, how will you respond, my son or my daughter? Will you persevere? That's what's happening here. And so James is encouraging them. He's saying, guys, persevere, persevere. He says, once you have been approved, what happens? You will receive the crown of life. So he's saying, I want you to remember the end game. If you have really chosen to follow Jesus, you have him as your Lord and Savior, and you're going through difficult times now, or maybe for months, or maybe some of you for years, and you're still following him, he's saying, persevere, because the end game, you will be with Jesus forever, the crown of life in heaven forever. Are you following the heart of God for all of us through James this morning? Loving radically. So this first point, what is interesting about it is he says, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who, say the words, church, love him. So this first point on loving radically is this thought. Do we love God through trials? As we are enduring, as we are persevering, whatever the circumstances might be, if you are following him, and it is not a consequence of a sin that you're struggling with right now, then God is saying this to your hearts, will you love me through this too? Because if you do, not only is the end game secure for you, but I will bless you. What does the Bible say? Blessed is a man, is a woman, these people who love me, who will persevere even if it's difficult. I want to bring this home with a story. Let's call the name of this dad, John. And he is married to Marcia, okay? John and Marcia, those of you that remember that. So John and Marcia are married for several years and they're wanting to have a child, but John and Marcia do not have a baby. God does not allow that. And as they do not have a baby, they do not know God yet. And as John and Marcia are struggling to have a baby, John has an affair. And as John has an affair, the woman that he has an affair with gets pregnant. And so this situation caused them to think. The friends of the girl were saying, of Marcia were saying, iwanan mo na siya, leave him because he's been unfaithful to you. The friends of the guy are saying, leave her because now you have your baby and you've got this girl that you have a baby with. These friends obviously did not know God as well. But what happened in the life of John and Marcia is they said, we want to give one last go to this marriage. So he had this child. He was able to see her for a year or so, a few months. And as they wanted to give one last go at their marriage, they went to a couple's retreat and we met them there. And as we met them, they chose to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their life, and it radically transformed their marriage. But as we know in life, when we follow God, it's not always a bed of roses. So he had to make some hard decisions, because as they restored their marriage, part of what happened was he wanted to keep seeing his daughter. But the mother of the child said, "You cannot see your daughter if you will come with your wife, Marcia." Obviously, because that girl wanted him to still get back to her, wanted John to stay with her. But because John said, "Lord, I know you now. I will trust you. I will obey you. And this is how I will love you even through this situation. I cannot choose to do this." So you know what he did? And we were talking. He said, "Even if this means I will never see my daughter again, I will trust God and I will obey him, because I have chosen to follow him." That's what loving God through trials can look like. And can I share how God worked through that whole situation? By God's grace, that was years. Can you imagine a dad not being able to see his daughter for years? No contact because of the condition given. But he kept serving God faithfully. He served God, and in the CCF culture, he's discipling. He was faithfully going about this, not knowing what was happening in the life of his daughter. He heard a message of Cassie Carstens, who talked about fatherhood, and he said, "For daughters, it is so critical that you're able to connect with them, especially at the age of 7, because they will look to you as a father." So when he heard that, he said, "Lord God, if you would allow it, please let me see my daughter someday, maybe when she hits the age of 7. And you know what? By God's grace, the child started to go to school, and as she went to school, there were practical requirements needed for a father. So the mother contacted John and said, "John, I know there's this condition that I had, but because our daughter needs a father, I would like to invite you back into her life, even with Marcia in the picture." Praise God. So John reconnects with his daughter, but wait, in the words of Pastor Ricky, there's more. So because of this heart, because of this reunion, let me just cut the story short. As they were reunited as father and daughter, he had to ask his wife, "Is this okay with you?" And the wife, Marcia, her heart turned as well. She said, "Let's make sure that this young girl gets to know Jesus as well, because that is her heart." So they ministered to the daughter, and this young girl came to know Jesus as her Lord and Savior as well. What a great blessing. But wait, there's more. God is redeeming the whole story, because as they've now been able to influence this young girl, dad, John, wife, Marcia, daughter, all three of them are now trying to witness to the mother of the girl. And she's been able to attend a number of CCF activities, and they're continuing to pray for that to turn full circle. Praise the Lord. Why am I sharing this? What is our first point? Loving radically means loving God through trials. Now let me make sure I correct the English there, and let me close this whole idea with this. I had a driver before, he was a Christian, and he said, "Sir, alam niyo po ba na ang ginagawa ng Diyos, what God can do oftentimes is he uses our test to become our testimony." I found that so beautiful. And that's what this is. So loving God through trials, I want to clarify, in the English, is not you will look for a trial to show that you love God, right? It's not, "Lord, dito ko ipapakita that I love you." It's not, "I want to show you I love you by looking for a challenge." That's not the English. I hope you understand that, right? The English is, when God does allow these things in your life, as you follow him, will you still love him? And if you do, you can be assured he will bless you. It might not happen in the way you want, but he will. And at the end of it all, it might be that you will experience the full measure of that blessing when you come home and you're with Jesus with the crown of life. Are you with me so far? First point. The second point, let's carry on. So James, as we scan through his book, he says, and this is the memory verse, it's so powerful. Can everybody read this with me? "If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. I asked myself this question, Lord, what does royal law mean? Why would you use these words here? And when you look at the scripture, this is the only time the words royal law are used by James. So when I asked that question and I did some digging, scholars will generally say the reason it is used is because in the nature of royal, it is supreme. Everybody say supreme. And it is from the king. And because it's from the king, we need to give it importance. So let's see exactly where the king gives us this instruction. In Matthew, when Jesus is asked in chapter 22, let me read for you the first part and then you'll see what's on your screen here. Here's the context, 22 verse 35, 34, 35. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Now, you don't test Jesus, obviously, right? Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And he said, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. This is the great and foremost commandment. And then you have this. What does it say? The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets. It was so important to love others, our neighbors, as ourselves, because Jesus says all of the law. Everybody say all. All of the law and the prophets are based on these two pillars. Loving God with all we've got and loving others as ourselves. So let's ask the logical question. If it's that important, what is so important about it? And let's make it practical. When James says, love yourself or your neighbor as yourself, does this mean that we need to love ourselves first? Self-love. Is that what this means? Self-love? Well, if we look at the breadth of the Bible, we will see that this is not true. And as we're listening to the messaging of the world, self-love, self-care, the danger of that is we will look at ourselves first more than the other. But when we look at the Bible and the instructions we see here, when James says this, he quotes it from Jesus. What's interesting, Timothy tells us, or the letter to Timothy tells us, we realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come, end times, there's a lot of dangerous things happening. It says men will be lovers of self, money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. If we look around us, many people will say we're moving into this time. We don't know exactly when Jesus will come, but we're getting closer and closer. And as we're seeing that, the Bible is telling us people will start preaching this message of love yourself. So is this what the Bible says if we're going to love radically? Is this what it means when it says love your neighbor as yourself? The Bible is saying actually no. It is not self-love. Now, let me be clear here. It doesn't mean reckless abandon of ourselves. It doesn't mean neglecting ourselves, because the Bible tells us our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He took care of his body. So on the one hand, we need to make sure we're good stewards of the body, but the emphasis on the other and the more important focus is, do we look at others more than ourselves? Paul echoes this, in fact, when he says, do we need to love ourselves equally? Because it says, love your neighbor as ourselves. Is that what this verse is saying? Paul stretches it and he says something that we've heard a number of times. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as what? What does it say? More important. I want you to look at the person beside you right now. And I want you to say to them, you are more important than me. That's a hard thing. Ang daling sabihin, di ba? You are more important than me. But that's why it's radical. If we are to love the way that God wants us to love, not only do we love Him through difficult circumstances, but we need to ask ourselves an honest question. Do I really look at others more than myself? Let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. It is not equal to self. It is more than ourselves. Let's bring this home. I love how Pastor Peter defined for us love in our past messages. It's a commitment to an imperfect person for their what? Highest good, which often requires sacrifice. So we want to ask ourselves this question. And when I was hearing that message, what blessed me about it is when I asked the question, what is our highest good? Is it for more money, for good health, for better relationships? Is that what a person's highest good is? Pastor Peter elevated it, and he reminded all of us from God's word that a person's highest good is for them to get to know Jesus, to experience His love for them so that they can share it to others as well. So to bring this home, as I said, I want to share a story. And as I share these stories, let me make a disclaimer. The stories are not meant to draw attention to the persons or personalities. The stories are to bring glory to God and to reinforce the picture of loving radically. Are you following the heart of God as we share this? So this next story is actually my mother-in-law. I will not forget what happened one day as she was counseling someone in a mall that will remain unnamed. So she's counseling someone in a fairly open space. You know those alfresco parts of restaurants that's not indoor? So chairs loosely scattered, counseling someone. And someone goes near that table, pretending to go slowly with a covering, grabs her bag and runs. Now, I want you to imagine my mother-in-law. She sees this, and she usually wears high heels, right? Or some like elevated platform. So she sees her, and she starts running. And as she's running, trying to chase this lady, put yourself in her shoes. What are you thinking? Grabe tong babae to. Look at this bastos to. Nagka-counseling ako, tapos kinuha yung bag ko. How dare her, right? So you want to get her, get your bag back. That's what I would do, right? So she's running, and then she calls out, and some of the security police catch her. They stop her. And as they stop her, this girl is, of course, in terror. She's in shock. My mother-in-law goes up. And as she goes up to this lady, what do you think she did? If you know her well. What are we talking about right now? Loving radically. Thinking of others more important than yourself. What is their highest good? You know what she did? She said, and I'm going to paraphrase this, Jesus loves you. Would you like to get to know this Jesus? And this lady is in terror. She starts crying. She says, I'm so sorry. She gives the bag back. And she receives Jesus as her Lord and Savior in that moment. Praise God. She says, I will not press charges to ask the security. I will instead bless her. She even gave her a little bit of something to carry with her as she went and received that gospel message. Now, why am I sharing that? Again, not to draw attention to my running mom, but really to show what it looks like. In every moment, there's an opportunity for us to think about others more than ourselves. Let's bring it even closer to home. Let's look at the others more checklist. An others more checklist. Let's go through different areas. At home, others more checklist. I learned this from my father-in-law, actually. The first moment rule. How many of you are fathers? Raise your hand. Mga tatay, raise your hand. If you're not sure, do not raise your hand, okay? Fathers, awesome, awesome. So all the dads here, the first moment rule. If you're like me, as a dad, we're busy. We're trying our best to provide for our families. If you're serving in church, you're also serving to the best of your ability. So there are days you're really exhausted. And what blesses me as a others more focus, what I learned from my dad-in-law is the first moment that you encounter your children and your wife, you need to help them realize that they really are the most important people in the world to you. So what do you do to make that practical? What I've learned to do when I come home, I think my kids are not here, but they're with me yesterday when I spoke at SNS. I will come home, and there are days, I'll be honest with you, there are days I'm super tired, and I'm still racing through my mind with what I need to get done. But as much as possible, I remember others more, first moment rule. So when I go home, I will whistle. I'm weird. I whistle like this. And when I whistle, I will shout, Daddy's home! And as I shout, I will say, where are my favorite people? And when my boys were much smaller, they would say, Daddy! And then they would run and jump on me. My girls are little, so they're the ones who do that now. Daddy! They run and jump and hug me. My boys are older and they're cooler, like, Dad.
What's up? You know, they come down. Is that cool, Judah? Was that cool? I don't know if that's... So they come down, they hug me, and then I ask them, hey, how was your day? What did you do today? Oh, we were homeschooling. Oh, daddy, look at this. And in those first few moments, because I've given it to them, I've parked all of my issues, all of my stress, all of my fatigue. I want them to know, hey, you are so important to dad, even though I've got all these things going on. Generally, there are days when it's not like that. It's a bad day, right? But I will do that. And you know what? After that first moment, they go about their things and they're good. They know in that moment, even if dad's got a lot of stuff, he loves us because we are the most important people in the world to him. So first moment rule. That's how we can think of others more. Another, in the family. So my son, I shared this last night. He did not like that I used his name, but since he's not here, I can use his name still. So Titus is my third son, and you know, all my kids, I love them. They're a blessing. But Titus is an amazing servant heart to a fault. I'll give you an example. When you go to church, we like to come early. We have a certain time, and if you know me, I'm very punctual as a general rule. So because I'm very punctual, if my kids are late, I give them a hard time. If my wife is late, I give her a hard time. So my son, God bless him, he's usually the last to get into the car. But here's what happens. There's times I'd be like, Titus, we have to go. I don't know why we're late. You know, it's very important. We want to honor God, blah, blah, blah. Daddy's going off on a tangent. And then he will say, oh, sorry, Dad. I was getting things for my siblings to make sure they didn't forget their stuff, like their Bible. So he scans the house to see that everybody's got their stuff. What a sweet boy. So of course, I'm like, sige na nga, late na tayo, okay lang. What do you say, right? So that's my son, Titus, always thinking of others to show you how this gets even, it becomes so much more powerful for children when they think of others more because it also drops entitlement. For example, this same son of mine, when we were in a smaller home living together and our kids kept going, I don't know why we had so many kids, they just kept coming out. So when we had several kids, we had a bunk bed for our boys, three boys, but because there were only two bunks, the two older boys got the bunks, my son stayed on the floor. That was our living condition. And then God blessed us with a home. And in the move to the home, when we were showing all the boys that they all had their own beds now, we were showing it to them. And when we showed them the beds, this is Titus. He's like, wow. He's looking at the bed of his kuya and his other kuya. And then there was a floor in the middle. He goes, wow, this is my floor. So sweet. He forgot to look around. There was another bed for him. So that's an example of Titus. And I get emotional as I think about him because he's a very special and sweet boy. When you think about your family members, do you serve them? Do you think about them so much that you're not even entitled and looking for things for yourself, just like the example of my precious boy, Titus? At work and school, let's go to work and school. Others more checklist. Are we, I like Liz Wiseman's book, you know, Readers Are Leaders. And as you increase your reading capacity, I encourage this book, amazing, best-selling book. She says, in the workplace, whether you're a business owner or you're an executive or you're a student, are you a multiplier versus a diminisher? What does that mean? A diminisher is all about, look at me, how good I am, and I'm going to get ahead of everybody. A multiplier will say, how can I work with others and unleash their gifting so that we will all win? Very different mindset. But that's what a multiplier does. They multiply the abilities of the people around them. They let everybody come alive versus a diminisher who's, I'm the only person, I'm the best, I'm the only one, and it sucks everybody out. So we want to ask ourselves, others more, are we looking at how we can impact or how we can unleash the giftings of the people around you, or is it all about you at work and school? At church, and this is a deep passion of mine, don't be a consumer Christian. You see, much of the world's messaging is, look at you. Get what you want right now. Not just 1 week delivery. Before we had snail mail. And from snail mail with Amazon, there's now 1 week delivery. Even in the Philippines, you can get things in a couple weeks. And they even have same day delivery. Maybe someday it will be even before you know what you want, they will tell you and it will come to you. So, consumer Christian, it's all about me now, what I want. As Christians, let me speak to you. Are you also that way?
I want to hear what I want from this person, with this music, with this environment, because if it's not the way it is, I'm out. This worship service is not for me. And then God is going to speak and say, really? I didn't think worship service was about you. I thought it was about me. So, in Filipino, bato-bato sa langit, matamaan. So I am a messenger here today. I pray that we take this seriously. Loving radically others more is saying, instead of what can I get from this church family, you want to ask yourself, what can I give to you, Lord, to this church family? How can I serve here? It is a deep, deep passion of mine. If you're here just sitting and listening every Sunday and you're not being transformed and being spurred to serve, I want to speak to you. Maybe you're just a consumer. And if you are, you're going to miss out on all that God has in store for you. And let me warn you, God can even discipline you because he doesn't want you to stay there. We are built to serve. On this side of eternity, we will be serving. In that side of eternity in heaven, we will be serving. So get out of the consumer Christian mindset. So last, in every encounter, on a practical note, and I love this from my mother-in-law and my mom, they're both very similar in this way. Whenever they're in any encounter, the question you want to ask is not, what do I get out of this? Ano makuha ko dito? What do I get? Oh, I'm going to be meeting with this person. I have this count. What do I get? Instead of that, maybe we can revise that and say, how can I be a blessing to this person? Even if they steal my bag, right? So that's the thought. Third point. Let's move on. Third point. James is carrying on and he's saying, read this with me, church. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of, go ahead, read it. Can you guys read it? And in need of daily food, one of you says to them, what use is that? So if we were to paraphrase this, the Bible is telling us, God is saying, hey guys, do you love merely through words? In Tagalog, salita lang. You're only using words. Yeah, I'll pray for you, which is not a bad thing to pray for people. But when God gives us an opportunity, the Bible says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do so. Part of the question we want to ask ourselves is, when there's an opportunity and people are asking for something, and you're thinking to yourself, it's so inconvenient to spend time with this person. I'm so busy. Or I have to give something to them, whether it's something material, or I have to listen to their problems. And maybe some of you, this is the truth, maybe some of you are not serving in our main ministry, the main calling we have to make disciples precisely for that reason. And you're right there, malapit na, but you're thinking, nako, may time yan, may hurt, may inconvenience. And God is saying, I need you to love radically. I need you to stretch yourself, because when we look at James, he's saying you can say that, but if you do not give what is necessary, what use is that? In Tagalog, baliwala, what is that for? You're saying something, you're praying, but you know you can do something. What is that for? The Bible is reminding us in our third point, we need to love sacrificially. I warned you earlier, I said love is not so much the soft and fluffy stuff, but if we're to experience the full breadth and depth of it as God is showing us and has shown us through his son Jesus, we need to realize we need to love radically. Look at the person beside you again and say, love radically. So, sacrificial. Let's make this even more practical. Some of us might be thinking, Edric, you know, I don't know what I can give. And maybe this could even be in the area of finances and material things. Because let's be honest, some of the hardest ways to be sacrificial could be in the areas of material things. I was so impacted by this African missionary. She went, a missionary to Africa, one of the poorest regions in the poorest region of Africa. We met her many years ago. She came to the Philippines. And when she was talking to us, she said she was ministering to a tribe which was so poor that the whole tribe for 1 week would eat one chicken. So poor. So when she was leaving, the tribe chief said to her, Madam, thank you for your time with us. Here is a chicken. So she said, I can't take this chicken. I know what this means to the whole tribe. She said, I cannot take that. You know what the tribe chief said to her? He said, Madam, let me remind you of something. I was so impacted by this statement. No one is too poor to give, nor too rich to receive. I do not know your circumstances right now. I do not know what areas God is calling you to sacrifice and stretch yourself so that you can love others and love Him that way. But it may be in the area of material things, and you say, I have nothing to give. But as we're learning, nobody is too poor to give, and no one is too rich to receive. I love how James goes on in chapter 4, if you look at it, and this is something that speaks very close to my heart also. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? The source of turmoil and stress internally for all of us. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? Remember, he's speaking to believers here, people who are already following Jesus. Could it be that our desire for comfort, for convenience, is what's causing tension? And maybe it is even in the area of money that wage war in your members. And look what it says. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Stop. Are there circumstances, maybe you are this right now, you have problems in your family, in your business, in your relationships, in the schools, because of this pleasure and the wars that are waging within you, and maybe it's leaking out and it's causing problems outside as well. It says, because of this, you fight and quarrel. What does it say here? You do not have because you do not ask, and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Wow, big words. Let me bring this home. And I hope you don't mind, I'll get a little bit personal with you, not to draw attention to myself once again, but to show you how this message, Loving Radically, is for me as well. Many years ago, I'm hustling, trying to provide for my family, and that involves making money to provide for my kids. So I've always tried to make sure that I do the best I can. But there are moments where there's struggles, right? You're struggling with, Lord, am I providing enough? Am I becoming focused on myself, too comfortable? And as I'm doing that, what I love about this picture of spending it on pleasures and the war that wages within us is it could be that the reason why we're not able to love sacrificially is we're still holding on to comforts, material things, desires in this world. Now, nothing wrong with wanting God to bless us with things. I'm not saying that is wrong. But when that is what's consuming us and we're no longer able to relate to people well because we're so focused on those things, God does something to change our hearts. So I heard the message from two different gentlemen in that season, Robert Morris and Edmund Chan, who said something very radical. They said in their respective journeys, to break the hold of material things in their life, they felt God called them to empty out their personal bank accounts. That's a big, radical thing. And I said, whoa, who would do that? I am a financial planner, and I never think that way. It's all about how can you get and make it grow and be a good steward in that way. So I thought that that was very radical. But as I reflected on that more and more, and I hit a season where I was so busy, and I was so distracted, and I was stressed, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, Edric, are you willing to let go of these things that are gripping your heart and are crowding it out from listening to me, and it's causing a war inside of you? And then the Holy Spirit said, are you willing to empty your accounts, my personal bank accounts, not my college fund for the kids and all that, right? So I was like, I'm not sure this is you, God. And as I prayed, I really felt God leading me to do that. And you know what? After struggling, I said, okay, God, you show me where you want to put this, and I will give it. And so I did that. I did exactly what I heard from those pastors. I emptied it, and let me tell you something. As I saw in their lives, God does something amazing when we bless Him, when we obey Him. He has provided for all our needs up until this day. I look back and I realize how God is such a good God, taking care of all the needs of our family. And I look at it as a very soulful moment because I was able to say, Lord, I'm willing to let go of everything you want me to let go of. So that is my heart to all of you. I have a question from the Lord. What is it that He's asking you to sacrifice because you love Him and you want to show others you love them? It may be in the area of money, but it could be in the area of time. It could be in the area of your giftings, and God has been pushing you and saying, why don't you use this for me? It will entail sacrifice, but it will be worth it. So, family, church, what is it for you? I love what Randy Alcorn says here in this statement, and then we'll wrap up with our fourth, fourth point. A disciple does not ask, how much can I keep? But how much more can I give? Whenever we start to get comfortable with our level of giving, it's time to raise it again. And God has blessed many of us CCFers here with so many material comforts. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings of the Lord, but let me challenge you with some hard questions. Are you getting too comfortable? Are you focusing more on those things? And God is saying, I need you to let go, because that can create war within you, this desire for pleasure and for comfort when we know that this is not our home. And there's so many people who need things out there. So many people who need things out there, and we need to give, be a blessing to them. Very recently, we went to an outreach and we saw some people and we asked them, how can we pray for you? And I'll say this in Filipino and then I'll translate it. They said, ipagdasal niyo po na makaraos lang kami ng isang araw. Would you pray that we can just get by this next day? That we will have food to eat? And when I heard that, I see the heart of God. If you look at James, James is known as James the Just. He's all about helping the injustices, including poverty. So I want to challenge us. And by God's grace, we have ministries in place like Tulong Tayo and these initiatives to help develop communities so that even as we give, we're building discipleship and letting them get to know Jesus more. Because as we did that, what is really touching is when one of the ladies said, alam niyo po, maganda nagbibigay kayo. It's so nice that you give things. But what we are hungry for is the Word of God. So would you please give us more Bibles? And so we're so excited that even as we do that, that is the thought. So I'm sharing from my heart. Loving sacrificially could entail that as well. Stretching ourselves to think, how can I give and be a blessing to others? Because there's so much we can actually give if we stretch ourselves, whether it's time, talent, or even treasure. Are you guys following the heart of God so far? Let's wrap up with our last point. Last point. Read it with me. James 3, 8 to 10. But no one can tame the tongue, the Bible says. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless God. With it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. What is the Bible teaching us about loving radically in our last point? We need to love through life. Words. Proverbs tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. So literally, we can build up somebody or we can destroy them with just a few words. My girls would even joke about this because they would kind of quarrel sometimes. My two daughters, Catalina and Kaylee, they're 10 and 5. So I told them this one time. I said, okay, if someone says something negative to you, say death words. So my daughters, when they start talking, they're like, death words, death words, death words. I said, let's change it. Life words, life words, life words. So for all of us here, on a serious note, ask yourself, what words are you releasing? Look at the person beside you and say, I bless you with life words. Go. Say something affirming to the person beside you right now. Go for it. It can be, ang ganda naman ang suit niya. I love your colors, pink and yellow. You look great, guys. Say something affirming. Bless them with life words. And as we look at the power of words, I want to invite a dear mentor to me, and I want to share some of his credentials, not to draw attention to him, but to the message that God has through him. He is a former U.S. ambassador who served 3 terms, 2 under George Bush, 1 under President Obama, but he is a businessman. He went to Harvard for his MBA, graduated with honors there, and went off to be in Silicon Valley. He was one of the Google board of advisors, and he is now a venture capitalist. But his heart is not really in the business world. His heart is to follow Jesus and to bless families. He has a nonprofit called Family First, and together with even our local church and our ministries, we're serving in families on various fronts. He is a professor on leadership in various Ivy League schools, Stanford, Harvard, Oxford, and even MIT, I just found out. And so I wanted you to hear his heart, because more than all of that, as I said, he loves Jesus and he has a heart for families and the next generation through learning. And he's in fact written a number of books about family. One of them is called Be a Better Dad Today, which impacted me. He has a story about his own father, which we will hear in a little bit. And his wife wrote this book, Be a Better Mom, Be the best mom you can be. So these are actually available outside if you want copies. He will have some time to sign some of the books for a limited run if you want to do that downstairs. And all of the proceeds of these books, of course, do not go to him. They go to the Philippine Foundation of Family First, right? Just so that, you know, I'm going to invite him to come and share a little bit about the power of words. Because as an ambassador, as a leader in various fronts, I'm sure we can learn some things from this man of God. Have a seat. We're going to do it this way. I'm going to ask him a couple of questions so he can speak straight to you from his heart. Ambassador Slayton, you know, I know we did this yesterday, and I'm so grateful that you're still alive and awake. The jet lag is not killing you yet. What a blessing to have you here. You know, we're talking about loving radically and the power of words. And not only do you have the opportunity to use words carefully as an ambassador and as a leader of various businesses, but as a dad and as a husband, you realize the value of that. And in your own journey with your father, you've experienced that. So talk to us first about the power of words, and then we'll talk about your father and the wounds there.
Thank you, Redrick. Speaking of the power of words, let me say, magandang umaga sa inyong lahat. And then my very favorite Filipino word, kagilagilalas. Maralim ang Tagalog ko. I love the Philippines. I really do. I lived here for 3 years as a Fulbright scholar and then running an orphanage in Cubao. I love the Philippines. I love this church. And I want to say thank you to Pastor Peter and his wonderful wife and all the pastors at CCF. This is my home church in Manila, and I always love being here. This is the first time I've ever spoken to you guys. I just love sitting up there and just listening. So thank you. And I want to say thank you to my dear brother Glenn Yu and his wife Jackie. They are the heads of Pamilya Muna Pilipinas. And that's the organization that there's a Family First Global, and I have the great honor of being the chairman. And you know, it's what Edric said, we are born to serve. And if you're not serving in a D group or some other way, get going, guys. Because that is where real life is. Now, you had a
power
question.
Power words, yes, the power of words.
I didn't forget, brother, thank you. So guys, it's just like James says, words are super powerful. Now, most of us have a chance to speak publicly sometimes. And when we speak publicly, we're very careful about what we say, right? We're very careful to use, hopefully, words of blessing. And that's very important. Sometimes, however, in the family, we're not so careful, right? And that can be a real problem. I remember one of my professors at Harvard, great lesson. He said, you know, in life, you're juggling a lot of balls. You're juggling the business ball, the family ball, whatever, other balls. He said, there's one ball that will not bounce if you drop it. It will break. And that is the family ball. Don't drop the family ball. And especially, let me be honest, for us dads, sometimes, you know, the kid does something really silly or really stupid, and it's easy to just let loose. The problem is you can never take those words back. And my father, who abandoned myself and my brothers when we were very young, and he wrote us a letter. And in the letter, he said, boys, I'm leaving. I never want to hear from you again. I never want to see you again. I never want to have anything to do with you again for the rest of my life. I have never forgotten that. That was 50 years ago. 50, 50. Your children do not forget. So let's use blessing words. I love that. Let's use blessing words for our children. And in fact, you know, I'm a professor, and I've got two pieces of homework at the end that I want to talk to you about blessing words.
Sure. Let's talk about, what about for the wives here? Yeah. What you've learned and your wives are in this book. How can they also speak life words before we go to the assignment?
Okay. Now, I have heard that there are churches in Manila, not this church, but maybe other churches, where somehow the wives believe that the more that they get on their husband's back, the more they criticize, the more they say, honey, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't do the other thing. Somehow they believe that that's going to motivate their husband. Ladies, let me tell you the truth. Hindi. That is not what motivates us as men. You get on my case, it just drives me down, right? What I need from my wife and what your husband needs from you is, first of all, your prayers. That's the most powerful thing in the world. Number two, your encouragement. Honey, thank you for working hard for us. I love you so much. You're such a great dad, okay? Find something positive to say. And yes, sometimes we screw up. Well, not Edric, but me, okay?
I screw up.
Sometimes we screw up. Say, you know, in a gentle way, you're making your husband a nice dinner. Oh, sweetie, by the way, you know, when you said that to Johnny, it really hurt his feelings, right? Then your husband, he can hear you. He can hear you, and he knows you love him. So, ladies, that is a key word. Not for anybody in this church, but churches somewhere.
Fantastic. Before we do the homework that he's going to ask us to do, your father wounded you, but God allowed that to be healed through a Chinese family.
Amen.
You want to share about that and how God redeemed that as a father to you now, even through this Chinese father.
So I want to say something super important. And you can forget all about me. I don't matter at all. This is it. We serve a great God who loves you and me and Edric very, very much. Okay, did you hear me? Did you hear me, guys? Now, there may be somebody in the congregation that's like, Professor, what are you talking about? You know, come on down after and we can talk because we serve a great God who loves you very much. Now, how do I know that? Because when my father abandoned me, and it was painful, and it was bitter, and it was ugly, the Lord sent a Chinese family to be our neighbors. I'd never met a Chinese person. I'd never met a Filipino person. I'd never met anyone from Asia in my whole life. This family had a son my age. He invited me over. We became best friends. I started to eat there. I started to sleep there. This was a strong Chinese Christian family. That's the key. Not that they were Chinese, that they were Christians. They gave me my first Bible. They took me to church. They taught me how to pray. I became a Christian through the Chang family. Amen. Now, why do I share that? First of all, because we serve a great God. He looked down on this little orphan that was me, and he moved one of his people next door so that they could love me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to share a truth with you. Each one of us have someone that God wants us to love. Maybe it's the neighbor who's lonely. Maybe it's the guy at work that is really struggling with his wife. Maybe it's something else, right? Your student, for all the young people there. Maybe it's one of your colleagues at one of your fellow students. But we must be God's hands and God's heart in this earth. And that is the biggest privilege that we have. The biggest privilege. So I want to see a show of hands. Raise your hand if you're going to pray and ask God to show you who he wants you to bless. Raise your hand. Okay, we got a lot of time. I don't see some hands over here, guys. Come on now, raise them up. There we go. Okay, good. Seriously, guys, be a blessing. It's a blessing to be a blessing.
The homework. Let's hear the homework. Professor Staten has a homework for us, please.
Okay. Who is a parent? Who has a child? Raise your hand if you've got children. Raise your hand. Okay, great, 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 great. First homework, super important, super important. Do it this month. Don't wait.
Today.
This month. Do it today. Yeah, do it today. Be a better dad today. That's the book. So, what do you do? Maybe you have two children. Maybe you have seven children. Doesn't matter. Get each children alone by him or herself. Alone. Right? First thing you do, give him a big hug. Give him a big hug. Okay? Now, I know some of you who are Chinese are saying, Professor Slayton, I am Chinese. I do not do the hug thing. Well, guess what? I am also partially Chinese, and I don't care. Because your kids need physical affection. Do you want your 13-year-old girl to go outside the house for physical affection? Indeed. Right? So, give your child, your son or daughter, a big hug. And then you tell them three things. Number one, son, I love you so much. You look them right in the eye. You tell them three times, I love you so much. And then you say, son, mom and I, we are so proud of you. We're so proud of the man or the woman that God is making you into. Okay? And the last thing, son, I want you to know that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, mom and I, we're with you and we're for you forever. And then you give them another big hug. Now, I promise you, you do this once a month for the next, you know, 4, 5, 10 years, whatever, your children will be so much stronger in their soul. They'll feel 10 feet tall. And when someone comes to them and says, hey, let's go do some drugs. Hey, let's go steal something. Hey, let's go do something stupid. Your son or your daughter will say, Hindi, I am not interested in that because my mom and my dad, they believe in me. And Jesus loves me. Amen? Okay, now, show of hands, parents, who's going to do my homework? Who's going to do my homework? Okay, I'm coming back next month, and I'm going to check with Pastor Peter and find out if you're doing your homework.
Thank you. Let's appreciate Professor Slayton. Thank you so much. Any final words?
Yeah, let's see. And now, one last quick one. Who's a husband? Raise your hand if you're a husband. Okay, this homework is for us, guys, for us. This month, soon, like tomorrow, I want you to take your wife out to a really nice romantic dinner. Jollibee, Hindi. All right. No, we're not talking Jollibee, guys. We're talking romance, candlelight. Okay, you guys hear me? Okay, you pull out the chair for your wife. You seat her, honey. You sit down. The first thing you say is, honey, order whatever you want. Money is no object. Order whatever you want, right, brother? And then, in the middle of the dinner, guys, you reach across the table, you take her hand, you look her right in the eye, and you say, sweetheart, I love you so much. Okay? Okay. Yeah, dads, you hear me. I know there are guys out there that don't say that. And guys, it's important. I love you so much. Honey, thank you for taking care of me and the kids. You've given up your whole life to take care of us. Thank you so much, sweetheart. And honey, I want you to know, we're going to do this every month forever. And no matter what happens, I love you, I'm with you forever. Husbands, can we do that, guys? Can we do that? Raise your hand, men. Let's go. Okay, wives, take a picture.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Let's appreciate Ambassador Slayton. Thank you. Let's pray for Professor Slayton as well, his family.
Can I pray for us, brother?
Well, please, yes.
I would love to. Guys, prayer is the most powerful thing in the world. I learned that from my Chinese family, and it's true. So, gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this time. It's such a blessing to be with this wonderful congregation. Thank you for CCF. Thank you for the college. So excited about that, Lord. Leadership Academy International. That's my name for it. But we're so excited, Lord, because it's just what Pastor Peter said. CCF is raising up leaders of leaders. And that's my prayer for everyone in this room, Lord, that we would be good leaders for our families, we'd be good leaders for our church, we'd be good leaders for our community, and we'd be good leaders for the Philippines. Bless this great nation, Lord. Bless it. Bless it. Bless it.
Lord, we pray for Ambassador Slayton. Would you bless him and his family, that you would continue to find him walking faithfully towards you, Lord Jesus, that you would fill him with your spirit in all the areas that he has influence to let people know you, your love. We thank you for his presence here. Bless the rest of his time. Bless the rest of us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Slayton. All right. So, let's wind this down. And as we do, I was so moved by that. I know we've done this a number of times, but I want to thank Dad and Mom for speaking life words to me. It has also meant so much and has allowed healing for me. Thank you, Dad and Mom, for the life words, and my wife also. So can you please look at a loved one right now and again, speak some life words to them. Say, I love you. I will take you out every month and I will say you can buy whatever you want. No. I love the heart of Professor Slayton. All right, so winding it down, what have we learned? What is the main message for us? Love radically. Four things. Love God through trials. Love others more than yourself. Love sacrificially, hard one. And then loving through life words. Let's close. What I love about James's version is the fact that James himself has a story to tell. James was the brother of Jesus. And as he was the brother of Jesus, the Bible tells us that he did not believe that Jesus was Lord and Savior. He was not the Messiah. This, no, he grew up with him. I want you to imagine what that must have been like. Really? I grew up with you. So he did not believe him. But when Jesus died and rose again, if you look at the Bible, it said that Jesus appeared and it called out the name of James. He appeared to his brother. And because James experienced Jesus now, in that way, this is a truth for all of us. He was radically transformed. How do we know that? Let me read to you guys James 1, verse 1. James 1, verse 1 tells us this. When he opens up the message, look at the heart of James. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so moved by experience with Jesus. He gave his life and he said, I will make you the Lord and Savior of my life. I will be radically transformed. And James became a leader of the church, as the Bible tells us. Paul calls him out as a pillar of the church because his heart was radically transformed. So as we close our message on loving radically, maybe for some of us here, some of you here, even online, you need to have radical heart surgery first. Just like James, so that then you can love radically. This will be our prayer for you as we wind down. We will make two prayers. The first is that we will all love radically. The second, for those of you that are finding yourself in that situation, is this. Ezekiel says, God wants to give us a new heart so that he will remove the heart of stone and will give us a new heart. He will put his spirit within us and will cause us to love radically, to obey him and experience all that he has for you. That's how we're going to close. We will pray that we will all love radically. And for some of our friends and guests and family members, maybe this is you. You're looking for something. You feel empty. You're struggling and you want to love like this or experience this love, pero your heart is hard. So just like James, you want to radically change that heart surgery. See God replace it and do his thing in your life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you once again for being our Father. Thank you for answering our prayer earlier of helping us look at you and your words. And our prayer right now is that we will all be transformed by your words, that we will all indeed love radically. And as we pray this for our lives, whatever it is you're speaking to us, we pray that we are not just hearers again and doers, we do it immediately. And as we pray this, we have some friends and guests who are here and they're saying, I want that. And so today, I want to radically change my heart so that I will be able to love in that way and experience it. And if that is you, you can make a prayer like this from your heart to God. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus because you love me so much to die for my sins, to pay for the price of all of them. And I ask for your forgiveness
for all of these things. And as I do that right now, will you change my heart and fill it with your own? Fill me with your spirit so that as I receive this now, I can restore my relationship with you. I can be assured of the end game as we talked about earlier. I can be with you through eternity. And in the meantime, I can experience the fullness of your love for me. And I can extend this to the other people around me, Lord God. So would you do that in me? I ask for that right now, and I thank you for what you will do. And as we close our time, Lord, again, we pray that you'd bless all of us, that CCF as a larger family will ignite the world with your love, that we would radically love people everywhere we go, as soon as we leave this place, so that once again, you will get the glory. Your message will spread. People will know your love. They will give their lives to you. And you will say to us when our time is done, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Love you guys.
Good day, CCF family. Welcome to Sunday Fast Track, where you ask real-life questions and we give you biblical truths. For Pastor Edric, it was clear in today's message that part of loving others is to show compassion to one another and extend help to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So the question on people's minds is, to what extent can I sacrifice? Are there really no boundaries in loving others, or are there lines that need to be drawn?
When you think about what Jesus did, there were no boundaries. He literally gave his life for us. Mm-hmm. So I think my direct answer is, whatever God asks you to do, you do. That is the boundary. If he does not ask you to do it, don't do it. Now, to be very practical about that, it cannot just be a feeling. I would encourage you to validate that with godly counsel, because the Bible says in the abundance of counsel, there is victory. Because some people might go with a feeling and it's not from God, but they think it is, right? So that's what I would suggest. Ask God, how far do you want me to stretch this? Validate that from his word, from the counsel around you, and do that.
Thank you for that, Pastor Edric. And God really gives wisdom to those who ask. Praise God. So much truth, so much tips in our discussion for today. But before we go, make sure to catch the latest episode from CCF On Air titled Love, Situationships, and Delulus. This is a special episode for Love Month to help you discover what true love is, what it isn't, and everything in between. So just watch it on CCF main YouTube channel or CCF On Air Spotify account. And that's it for CCF Sunday Fast Track. Thank you again, Pastor Edric and Ambassador Slayton. God bless you.
Maraming salamat po.